You know, Jesus talks a lot about table in his scriptures. A lot of stuff is around this concept of gathering together in fellowship and table. And there's the parable of the great wedding feast, and there's parables about this and that, and teachings about around the table. And every month, first Sunday of every month, we're going to come to this table. We're going to come to the table of the Lord. But before we do that, I want to talk to you a little bit about what this is. If you've been in the Journey in Faith class, you've heard me talk about the sacrament of Holy Communion. And if you haven't, or if you have, you hear it again. If you haven't, then listen, because there are a lot of people who don't know for sure what this is all about, coming to this table. It goes way back. It goes back all the way to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, there is Abraham has gone out and he has made a great, he's waged war to free some of his family and some of the oppressions against the king. And he comes out, and when he comes out there in the wilderness, he meets the man called the king of Salem. And his name is Melchizedek. Melchizedek. We're not quite sure where this Melchizedek comes from or whatever, but we know he's the king, and we know he shows up to Abraham with two things. Guess what those two things are? Bread and wine. Bread and wine. And Abraham senses that in him that's something special. And so Abraham gives him an offering, and Melchizedek blesses him with this bread and wine. Later on, as we go through the scriptures, we come across this concept of covenant and these symbols that we use. In the book of Exodus, we have a covenant in the book of Exodus with Moses. And in the covenant of the book of Exodus, the symbols are the Passover, are the unleavened bread and wine. So this symbol of bread and wine goes back and forth, back and forth. Even until Jesus' day, the symbol of bread and wine was a symbol of the Passover. But what do they mean with this bread and wine? Why is it that we use these things? Well, let me first talk about the bread. The bread is the basic staple of life. People in Jesus' time, unlike us, didn't eat a lot of meat. Bread was the staple. They grew grain and they made bread, and that was what was able to help their civilizations keep going. Even today, bread is an important staple in our lives. The wine is another issue altogether. What are you laughing about wine? Every time I say wine, you laugh. You like it, me too. The wine is associated with the covenant of God, or with covenants. And I know I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. When a covenant is made, it's always made between a higher power and a lower power. We're not talking about a marriage covenant between two people. But by the way, that's made with God too. But we're talking about covenants that are made like with a king. So a king would make a covenant. And in that covenant, there would be a covenant formula. And the covenant formula would begin with the king saying, "I am the king." Or let's say if I was doing it, "I am Queen Becky. And I am Queen of Medina. And I have come to Strongsville. And I have defeated those Bereaites who have kept you in slavery. We have set you free." So the covenant formula begins with the, with the power saying who they are and what they've done. The next portion of the covenant says that because I have set you free, you will pay me $5 million a year. And you will supply me all the wine I can drink. Right? And that will keep my army going. After that, there comes this thing that says, if you do this, I will continue to provide protection for you. And then the covenant is sealed. And in the sealing of the ancient covenants, the way it was done, this is kind of gross. I'm telling you about the cow again, the bull. You're not leaving, you want to be the bull. They take a bull, and they take a sword, and they cut it from the tip of its nose to the end of its tail. And it falls open like this. And then all the people walk in the blood and the stuff that this cow or this bull has made as a sign of agreeing to the covenant. What's that about? What does that mean? It means this. If you agree to this and you walk between it and you break the covenant, you become the bull. Do you understand? If you break a covenant, your life is sacrificed. Even Moses used this covenant. Moses, after he leads the people through the Sinai, takes them up onto the mountain, and there he reads to them the word of God, the Ten Commandments. And he has the elders from the different tribes bring up bulls and they sacrifice them. And he collects all the blood in buckets, if you will. And he puts the bulls on the altar and he burns them. And after he reads the covenant, he says, "What will you do? Will you follow God?" And they say, "Yes, what God commands, we will do." And he takes half of the blood and he throws it on the altar. And the other half of the blood, he throws it on the people to mark the sealing of that covenant. Okay? Later, Jesus takes those same things, the bread and the blood, and he says, "This is the new covenant. When you take this bread, you take me. When you drink this wine, you take me into yourself." This is not something that we should just do lightly. It is something we need to have knowledge, a little knowledge about. But it's also a sacrament. What's a sacrament? Somebody, come on. You guys went to the class. What's a sacrament? It's a free gift from God. Given to all of us. That's what communion is. Now, this is the table of the Lord. And Jesus talks about coming to the table. So we have to decide who might, can, and can't come to the table. Were you born here?
No.
You can't come to the table. Sorry, you're not born here. Why can't you come?
I don't know. You told me that I can't.
And no Italians. No Italians. Anybody here Catholic? Bet out. Done. You can't come either. You've been divorced. Bet. How about an atheist? No. You can't come. I don't think I don't think if you're over the age of 65 you can come. So you sit still. You're working? You're not gainfully employed? You can't come. Look, this table is God's table. For too long, people have tried to say, you can't come because of this or that or the other thing. One of my favorite leaders of the early church, early Protestant church, was John Wesley. You know John Wesley? John Wesley took very seriously his control over Holy Communion. That was his job as an Anglican priest. He went to Georgia, and he was going to convert the Indians in Georgia. In Georgia, the governor's daughter took a liking to John, because John was a single preacher, you know. And that was a good thing to marry a preacher back in those days. And today it's not quite the same. But in those days, it was a good thing to marry the preacher. And they kind of had a thing for a while, kind of this dating thing. And John was one of these guys who were not going to commit ever. He just wasn't. So she got angry. And guess what she did? She went off and married John's rival without telling him. And then when she came to receive communion, he said, no. No. He overstepped his bounds. And Daddy was not happy. And they started, I don't know if you know this, if you're not a Methodist, and they don't talk about this a lot. I was a Methodist, I can talk about it. He got in such trouble that they had tar and feathers and were going to tar and feather him. But he got away in the middle of the night and ran through Mississippi or Alabama, whatever those southern states is, and through the swamps of Georgia, and just got onto swamps in North Carolina, and just got on a ship to sail back to England before they grabbed him. Before they grabbed him. And it wasn't until that time when he was on that ship back that he realized that God warms the spirit, and it's not about what you do, it's about God being inside of you. The table is God's table. So who do we invite? What did Jesus say that we should, in the scripture today, who did Jesus say we should invite to the feast? The poor, the lame, the sick, the brokenhearted, those who are struggling. We're already welcome, but we need to invite others. And if I picked on you, only teasing. You are welcome at this table. I just wish I was Italian. This Gino told me when he and when they came into the church, when both you and Bill came into the church, who are both Italian, they said, hey, preacher, we want to talk to you. We want you to put, well, we think you should put a vowel at the end of my name. You know, Stefanini. And he said, every once in a while when you're preaching, it would be okay for you to go, hey! This is God's table. Everyone is welcome here. When you come, and I pray you will come at your choice, and if you can't come, you let me know. I will bring it to you. But when you come, come with a thankful heart. Come seeking a new relationship with Jesus Christ, renewing the covenant that was made with you and He. Everybody's welcome. no matter where you are on life's journey, no matter if you're young or old or black or white or gay or straight or pink or yellow or whatever, this is God's table. This is not my table. It is not this church's table. It may reside here, but it belongs to God. None of us have the right to turn someone who God sends away. All of us are welcome in this place.